Welcome to The Word at First Press Church of Arlington Heights. The sermon is based on Scripture to help us see how God was at work in the lives of the faithful in their time and how God is at work now in our lives on our journey of faith. I invite you to listen for how God's Word might be speaking to you today.
Our first Scripture reading is from the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, verses 14 through 17. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 15 through 17 and 21 through 22. Listen to God's word. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Back in May of last year, I had the privilege of doing my first ever baptism. Pastor Barbara can tell you, I was so excited to be part of a baptism for the first time and to take part in the honor of being in this moment, a crucial moment in the journey of faith that a child and their family gets to experience. The interesting thing about that since then, though, for me, that I really hadn't anticipated, is that since that first baptism I did back in May, I have had the privilege of doing a baptism almost every month since then. And so this morning, baptizing Tyler as I just did, that was the 7th baptism I've ever been able to be a part of in my ministry. Now, doing all of these baptisms, it's given me a real opportunity to reflect on what baptism means for all of us. And back in November, I was able to, in a sermon, take us through some of the really specific, nitty-gritty details of what baptism means for all of us on a morning when we celebrated a baptism on the same day when we celebrated all our members who turned 90 in the year 2024. Those details around baptism, they of course hold a lot of meaning. But if I had to cut away all of the details, cut through some of the theological points, and get at the simplest meaning that baptism has for each of us, I would describe it as this. Baptism is a fresh start. It's a new beginning. And so this morning, as we are all celebrating a baptism, and baptism of the Lord Sunday, each of us has an opportunity to really reflect on what new beginnings might mean for each of us. Right now, we're just over halfway through the first month of a brand new year. And on top of that, tomorrow, we will have a new president take office. And so I think that for all of us, new beginnings are at the forefront of our minds right now in a lot of different ways. New beginnings are filled with lots of interesting rituals. We make resolutions and we set new goals thinking about what we might like to create in the year of in the year ahead. But the truth is, these rituals that we follow at these moments where new things arise in our lives, the truth is they're often driven by two things that can seem different but are often very connected. The first is that it's rooted in this hope about what the year could be for us, and also fear as we face the uncertainty of what could lie ahead. What I've found to be true in these moments where new beginnings are out on the horizon is that when I'm faced with new beginnings, the possibility of major change can sometimes lead me to really long for a time when I felt more certain. I think about times when life felt safer, or when I felt like I really knew what I was doing. And some part of me wishes that I could go back to that place, even if it's just for a fleeting little moment. Now, what I'm feeling when I experience this is commonly referred to as nostalgia. And nostalgia is very powerful. It often comes when we wish we could turn back time. And nostalgia is interesting because while it can bring us a sense of comfort, it also has a tendency at moments to leave us feeling stuck, as if we're trying very hard to return to a place that just doesn't exist. The other funny part about nostalgia is that it can quickly become a harmful form of comparison, because when we experience nostalgia, we often compare our lives to a memory of something that didn't happen in the way that our minds like to remember that it did. And I want to give you an example of a recent moment of nostalgia for me that illustrated this. So back in December, when we had our Christmas concert here at the church, the choir presented some amazing music from the neoclassical pop group Mannheim Steamroller. Now, I hadn't thought about Mannheim Steamroller for years, but hearing that music for the first time in quite a while, I was flooded by memories of hearing that music when I was growing up. It was a big deal when I was in fourth grade, and my mom got a brand new car that had a CD player in it. And that meant we could listen to Mannheim Steamroller in the car whenever we wanted. It didn't even have to be Christmas. So car rides with my mom around December and throughout the holidays, they were always filled with the music of Mannheim Steamroller. Hearing that music, it brought back this very vivid memory from when I was about 9 or 10 years old. Growing up, I always performed in a production of The Nutcracker during the first weekend in December. And every year on the Friday before our shows that were presented to the public took place, we would also perform for students during the school day who would come and see us at the theater as a field trip with their school. These shows, they started at 9 o'clock in the morning, and that meant that everyone who was performing had to arrive at the theater by 7 o'clock a.m. Since the theater was about 20 minutes from where I lived at that time, I had to leave home at 6:30 a.m. to arrive on time. Now, I can remember that on one of these early mornings, my mom played a song by Mannheim Steamroller that's called Up Above the Northern Lights. It's a very dreamy sort of song, and it talks about the shimmering northern lights dancing across the sky, filling people with this sense of dreaming and magic. So as the song played that morning, we drove east and we crossed this big bridge, which gave me a perfect view of the most amazing sunrise I'd ever seen at that point. The sun reflected across the river that was below, and it was very cold, so the river sort of looked like a mirror and reflected everything back. The music paired with that view took my breath away, and it was this memory that I cherished for many years afterward. I can remember I thought of the colors in that sunrise as the northern lights, and I was just in awe. Now, the photo you can see on your screen is an image that I found just from going online of a sunrise that was taken from the same bridge that my mom and I drove over on that day. And just looking at it, it really is so much like that memory that I remember from all those years ago. And I have to say that when that memory came to mind for me for the first time in years, back in December, there was this part of me that thought, wouldn't it be amazing to go back to that moment and to live all of it all over again? And I think if I'm honest with myself, there will always be a real part of me that misses those years. But as I really thought through some of the more intricate details of the memory, I think I realized that some of the details were actually a bit off in what I was bringing to mind. Now, the first red flag that came up for me was I realized that the first time I thought through this memory, I actually misremembered who drove me to the theater on that morning. You see, my mom and I, we do have a special tradition, even to this day, and it's gone back for many years, that when we are in a car together, we can argue about just about anything. Neither of us are at our best in the mornings either, and so when I first recalled this memory, I thought that I had to have been driving with my dad, who often worked early in the mornings and was happy to volunteer to take me to these early morning activities. But the more I thought of it, the more I realized that actually really wasn't possible. My dad drove a truck that only had a cassette player. And so Mannheim Steamroller on top of that was not really his thing. And it was clear I had to have been driving with my mom that morning. Now, that fault in my memory of this special moment in my life only brought more kind of faults in the memory to the surface. I remembered that at this time, that age that I was at, there were a lot of fears that I felt in a very real way. I remembered that school was really a struggle. I was afraid in a lot of my friendships. I didn't do well in certain classes, especially math. And that made me think about how powerless it often could feel when I was a child at that age. All of a sudden, I realized that going back to that place didn't seem so good after all. I much preferred knowing what I know now in my adult life. So seeing the past more accurately, it made that feeling of nostalgia less potent, and it allowed me to appreciate the present and future possibilities of my life a lot more. Now, I bring up this deceptive quality that nostalgia has because I think it's easy for all of us to fall into feeling nostalgia in a way that might not really be all that helpful, especially in the way that we approach our faith. Not only can we find ourselves longing for a place from our past that never really existed, whether it's a time when we felt like we were more devout and really felt like faith was at the forefront of our lives, or it can be that we long for a time and we want to go back to a time when the church really felt alive to us. We can feel like we need to get back to the way that things were once before, rather than imagining that there is a new and a better future ahead for our lives that is possible with new beginnings. Now, I don't mean to say that we shouldn't call to mind these meaningful memories that we love from our life, or that we shouldn't go back and think to past wisdom to help inform our present and our future experience. What I really mean is that we can easily fall into believing that we need to spend a lot of time and energy recreating a past and the circumstances around it that never really existed. And what we often find when we do that is that we miss the new possibilities God had for us that were beyond our imagining at the present moment. Now, I think that this tendency to want to return to or recreate the past is actually older than the Christian faith itself. For example, if we go to the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, the Israelites, who are just newly freed from captivity. They find themselves falling easily into the belief that they should go back to the way things were when they were enslaved in the land of Egypt. Because the uncertainty of the wilderness they're entering and that they face, it is just too overwhelming for them to bear. They feel at that moment that they'd rather return to what they know than face an uncertain but promising future. Now, our scripture for this morning is quite different than that, but believe it or not, it holds a similar story. We hear that when John the Baptist comes to baptize Jesus, everyone who meets John is filled with expectation, and they wonder if John might be the Messiah. For many years, long before Jesus' ministry even began, Jewish tradition, it revolved around these expectations that a Messiah was going to come one day to save the Jewish people from all their suffering. This was to be a militaristic, royal figure sent by God to take down anyone that sought to harm the Jewish people. John the Baptist, of course, makes it clear that he is not the Messiah that they're hoping for. But at the same time, he actually describes that who Jesus will be in his ministry as the Messiah will also be quite different from what they hoped for throughout all of these years. You see, Jesus was not coming to raise some sort of army. Instead, he's coming to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Jesus' ministry in that way represents a new beginning that is a complete diversion and departure from what people had longed for all the way from back at the time that they escaped captivity thousands of years before when they left Egypt behind. Now, rather than taking people down by force, Jesus' ministry did something very different. It sought to uplift people from all parts of society and to embrace them as part of a beloved community. And unfortunately, people could not let go of their former vision for the Messiah to see this new thing that God was doing through Jesus. They persecuted and killed Jesus because they could not see the new beginning that Jesus was creating. Sadly, this has continued throughout history. And as we celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. this weekend, we remember a similar vision of a new beginning that was too difficult for people to embrace at the moment that the new beginning was presented. Throughout our history of faith, nostalgia has kept people from seeing the endless possibilities and new beginnings that God's love holds for all of us. But the good news is that the new beginnings and possibilities of God's love and presence in all things, it has the ability to redeem all of the failures that we have when we fail to see new possibilities and new beginnings that are before us. Even so, it is all of our job to see each day as an opportunity to create new beginnings that far exceed what we leave behind in the past. Each day is an opportunity to leave behind a story that we need to get back to the way things were. Instead, embracing new beginnings calls on us to lean into the wonder and the astonishment that exists in the infinite possibilities that we could never imagine based on our past experiences alone. So nostalgia, it ensures sometimes that we feel like we're visitors in this world, constantly striving to turn back time, only to find that the place that we feel this longing to return to, it was not in the past after all, but instead was an invitation to a new beginning. Embracing the promise we each receive when we are baptized, when we are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever, it ensures that we can create a new beginning at any moment in our lives. Our journey of faith in that way is one of constant renewal And the beauty of that for me is that no matter what age you're at, no matter what place in life you find yourself in, every day is a new opportunity to experience something completely unique and new. Since baptism symbolizes a new beginning, our whole lives, from beginning to end, they are a response to God's call to embrace new beginnings no matter where we are. Now, if you hear this and you think, gosh, I'm too old, how could I possibly embrace a new way of life? I want to end this morning by sharing a brief video with all of you, sharing the wisdom of a woman named Dot Fisher Smith. She's someone who lived nearly a century. Her approach to life shows that no person is ever too old to live a life of wonder and astonishment. And it shows, too, that new beginnings, a second childhood even, it is always a possibility for each of us. And so I will end with that short clip from Dot Fisher Smith.
Do you want me to tell you how old I am? Is that what you want? I'm 95. I'm halfway through my 96th year, because when my 96th birthday comes around in June, I will have completed my 96th year. What do I love most about being in my body now? that I can still breathe easy, and that I'm happy for whatever I have, knowing more and more limitations are on the way, and more mobility is on the way out. I don't want to have just visited this world. So I'm living as fully as I can with what I have. I want to be a child of wonder and astonishment. I'm having my second childhood now, my happy childhood. I had a miserable childhood. I did not enjoy being a child. I was always the outsider. I was always pointed at. I always felt terribly self-conscious. Terrible. Ugh, I don't even like thinking about it, you know? So I have fun now. I'm enjoying my childhood, finally.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about the ministries and mission of First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, Illinois, please visit firstpresah.org, where you can get information about our services and programs, including times and directions, and communicate with us about a prayer request, any questions you have, or how you might like to get involved.